Good morning. It's good to see everyone that made it out. We have several visiting with us. We're thankful for your presence as well and invite you back at any opportunity you have to be with us. We want you to know that we consider you our honored guest. And so I invite you guys to open up your Bibles. We do have a PowerPoint. I'm going to attempt to use it this morning, but a lot of the verses are not going to be on a PowerPoint because some of them are a little lengthy readings. So we're going to go ahead and just open up the Bible, lay it there on your lap, and we'll be ready to go here in just a moment. I know we're very blessed here at this congregation to have several men that have the opportunity, the desire, the ability to present lessons, to put them together and to present them before us. So we're very blessed. This is the opportunity that I have now. We currently, for those visiting, we do not have a full-time evangelist, and so we're taking turns as we are going through that process of finding one. And so I'm always very humbled when I have this opportunity to do this. I get nervous, I get the jitters, I guess you could call it, but it really is a great opportunity for me specifically to open up God's Word and to study it and to put a lesson together. I invite you to please follow along this morning. And the reason I ask you to do that is never take my word for anything. It's why we're going to follow along in God's Word, because God's Word is the inspired Word of God. In it is all truth. Never take a man's word for anything. So please follow along this morning. This morning we're going to be taking the topic of the lesson from a story that we haven't really talked about in quite some time, from the Old Testament. And so I invite you to open up your Bibles and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. As we see here, you see there the picture of the boat. You might all think, oh, we're going to talk about Noah's Ark today. We're going to pull some points out. We're not really going to talk about the ark today, but there's a few key points I really want to take from this set of verses here in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So if you will, open up your Bibles. We'll be reading from the New American Standard Version this morning. And in Genesis chapter 6, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Now it came about, when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim, which I think some versions might say giants, were on the earth in those days and also afterward, where the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And those were mighty men, who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord saw, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Now let's read verse 8 and verse 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. As we see here, we have the story of Noah. Now, we don't have a whole lot about Noah here in just the few verses that we have. We can read in previous verses there in chapter 5, we know that he was the son of Lamech. And when Noah was about 500 years old, he had three sons. And so we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we don't have a whole lot about Noah. But there's one thing that we see here in chapter 6, specifically verses 8 and 9. In verse 8 it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That he was a righteous man. Noah was blameless in his time. And he walked with God. Now the verses that we read here, in regards to the world being full of wickedness, but yet Noah was blameless in his time. We consider Hebrews Chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." Noah was faithful to God. Noah walked with God. But we also see here in the same set of verses, regards to the wicked, there's another group of people that's mentioned here. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 6, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says, "Then the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." And we'll stop there. If you skip down to verse 11, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." You have a group of people that their every thought was wickedness. Every intent of the thought was evil continually. There was no goodness at all. Consider the size of these groups. How many people was this group of wicked people? It was the entire world, everyone but Noah and his family. You had just a small group, Noah and his family, that followed God. Think about that for a moment. Every thought, every intent, the thought of the heart was evil continually. God said he was disappointed. God was grieved in his heart, and he said, "I am sorry that I made man." Look around today. Sometimes we look around and we say, can it get any worse? Look at the things that we're dealing with here as a nation, as a world. We see murder just going crazy. We have drugs and alcohol and things that are affecting families and people that are leading to other sins. We have unscriptural marriages, men marrying men, women marrying women. We homosexuality. We have families that aren't really families at all. Men and women that are having children but not under the marriage bed. And these kids are being brought into homes where they don't have a strong father and mother figure. A godly mother and figure. Mother and father. And we ask ourselves, can it get any worse? We see so much sin around us. And sometimes I'll hear a phrase, "Pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly." I know we get that from Revelation. God was going to wipe off everyone off the face of the earth except for Noah and his family. So the question I have for you this morning is, what group do you want to be in? What group are you in for today? Do you want to be labeled as Noah was labeled, finding favor in God's eyes? Or do you want to be considered in the group that God says he is sorry that he made man? That we have evil thoughts continually? The lesson is titled, "Don't Miss the Boat." And like I said, we're not going to talk about Noah's Ark. But there is a way out. There is a way out of sin. There is a way to life eternal. God gives us the way out. And we can read several verses and we know that way is Christ. So there's a few points I want to bring out this morning. The first one, I want to understand that we need to fear God. What was wrong with the world? They did not fear God. Now, are we talking about being afraid of God? I think there's a sense that, yes, we should know that God, there are things that God can do. However, I think the fear we're talking about is respect, revering God. Turn over to Romans chapter 11. Here in Romans chapter 11, we have Paul speaking to the Gentiles. And the issue he's dealing with here is some of the Gentiles might be getting proud or arrogant of the fact that now they have this relationship with God. And they're looking and almost condemning or judging those Jews that aren't serving God. And so he talks about here in the first 11 verses or so, actually the first 20 verses, he goes on and he talks about how these individuals, because of their unbelief, they have been broken off. As branches off the olive tree, they have been cut off because they chose not to serve God. And we go on and we continue reading. He says, you now have been grafted into this tree. The root upholds you. You don't uphold the root, but the root sustains you. And so he's talking to the Gentiles here, and he's encouraging them and telling them not to be proud or to be arrogant. But I want to read here Romans chapter 11, and let's read verses 22 through 33. Please follow along with me. Starting in verse 22. Behold the kindliness, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, they will be grafted back in. He's talking about if these individuals choose to serve God, they're cut off now. But if they choose to repent and come back to God, they too can have that relationship with God once more. And so as he says, they'll be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them again. For if you were cut off from what is it? By nature, a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. And from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. But just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. So these also now have been disobedient, because of this mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that He may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. He's saying, these individuals that don't serve God, if they choose to turn back to God, if they choose to fear God, they can be grafted back in. They can have this relationship with God. But I think there's a couple things here that I want to point out. Specifically in verse 22, we need to recognize that there is both kindness, but also a severity with God. How does God show His kindness here, if we consider the context? He shows His kindness by allowing these individuals to come to repentance. They can be back in His family. They have a relationship with Him. He shows kindness ultimately through the death of His Son. But how does He show severity? If we choose not to serve God, as the world did when they were at Noah's time, we'll be cut off. There is no hope. There is no hope. What group are we in? What group do we want to be in? Do we want to be cut off? Where we see and we recognize God's severity? Or would you rather continue to learn about God's kindness and know that if I serve God and fear God, I can have a relationship with Him? Consider Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. As we begin to fear God and we continue to understand His law for us, and we apply it to our lives, we understand who God is, and we can begin to fear God and know God, respect God. But you know, it comes with a humble heart. Before we are exalted on that day of judgment, when God will allow us to enter in, ultimately for an eternity with Him, we need to have a humble heart. In Matthew chapter 10 and 28, it says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him." Fear God, who is able to destroy both body, both soul and body in hell. Kindness and severity. God is a kind and gracious and merciful God. But if we choose not to serve Him, He says, don't fear those who can just kill your body. It's not about what are we doing here on earth. It's not about, you know, what's our next step here on earth. It's about what's our next step ultimately for eternity. This is just a passing ground. But He says, fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, can we talk about being afraid? Is it fearful? It should be. It should be fearful, knowing that I could ultimately lose my life here on earth, but lose my soul. But it should bring us to the point of fearing and respecting God, knowing that God has the ability to do that. That's a healthy fear. That's a fear that we should all have. Flip over to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 20. He's talking about here how we're all guilty, both Gentiles and Jews. And he's speaking to the Gentiles here again. And we're all guilty. We all sin. We're not going to read the verse there, but down in verse 21 and following, it talks about how we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I want to key in here on verses 10 through 20. Follow along with me. And it's starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of the ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the words of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. We read this passage and it comes, several of these points here in these 10 verses here come from Psalms. But all these, what it's listing here, it says ultimately, there was no fear of God before their eyes. We're all going to be held accountable. But we have this word, the inspired word of God. This is the instruction, the knowledge of God. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. It's by this we understand where we are spiritually, whether or not we have a relationship with God, what we need to do to mend that relationship with God. We read through it and we know that we sin. But because of God's kindness, He has given us a way out by the death of His Son. And so there needs to be a healthy fear, a respect for God. Because God is an awesome God. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Here they're trying to encourage the Israelites to repent and come back to God. He's telling the Israelites, choose life, not death. And so let's read here, Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 21 through 32. But if the wicked man turns from all his sin, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions, which he has committed, will not be remembered against him because of his righteousness, which he has practiced. He will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed, for them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O Israel, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right? O house of Israel, is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all of your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. He's imploring here for Israel to choose life. He says, why choose death? If you had a choice, physically, to live or die, what would you choose? You wouldn't choose death. You would choose life. Why is it any different for us when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to eternity? Why is it so hard for humans and for man to choose God? Just think about that. Why is it so difficult? Why would we choose death over life when it comes to our spiritual soul, to an eternal life? God wants us to live. He does not desire for any to die. He wants all to live with Him. Turn to Romans. Chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Talking about there is no partiality with God. God wants all to have a relationship with Him. It's whether or not we make the choice to follow Him and to be in that relationship with Him. But let's read here verses 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? He's talked about basically being a hypocrite. Verse 4, Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those, by perseverance in doing good, seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also to the Greek. The glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Do you think lightly, in verse 4, of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? God is so patient to all of us. Now, we look back at the time of Noah, and we see the world full of wickedness. And God says, I'm sorry I made man, and I'm going to wipe him off the face of the earth. And He did. Because their hearts were full of wickedness. And like I said earlier, we look today and we ask ourselves, can it get any worse? We see all the sin that's around us. Can it get any worse? God, if He wanted to, He could wipe man off the face of the earth again. Now we know, and we can read Genesis, and we know why. It's not going to happen by flood, because we see a sign in the sky. However, ultimately, there is going to be a judgment day for every one of us. Every one of us, we're going to be judged according to our deeds. God is patient towards us because He knows we sin and we fall short of His glory. But He is patient and tolerant towards us, understanding that by understanding His law, we're going to come back to Him if we truly fear God. We're going to come back to Him. Now, for those of us who have made the decision to obey God and serve God, no, this is not the invitation. But in order for us to obey, those who have made that decision, we need to get that word out. We need to teach those who, whether or not maybe arrogance, or they're ignorant of the fact of the Word of God, it is our duty as disciples of Christ to preach that Word. It is our duty to let the world know that there is a way out. That they need to choose life over death. Because ultimately, in the end, you will either live or you will die. It's not about the physical body. It's about your soul. And it is our duty to teach that. But it says there, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? Do we take sometimes God's grace and God's kindness for granted? I think sometimes we often do. I think sometimes it's hard for us to really grasp the love of God and God's patience towards us and His kindness towards us. I think sometimes it's hard for us to truly grasp that. And so sometimes we need to just sit down and pray to God and think about things and study His Word to really get back on level ground, knowing that God is a loving God and He has given us a way out. We have made that decision to choose life rather than death. But if we're not careful, it says that we're going to have, if we don't choose to serve God, wrath and indignation built up on judgment day, rather than life. So I implore all of us to choose life, not death, and to teach those who are around us to do the same thing. It's important that we're not stagnant or level. I have some of these words down here. Permanent, fixed, unchanging, enduring, all of these things. When we enter into that relationship with God, God doesn't want us to be the same when we die as when we were, as when we became Christians. Does that make sense? God wants us to grow. We can read, I believe in Peter, it talks about the milk of the Word and how when we are babes in Christ, we desire that pure milk of the Word. However, there comes a time in our life that we need the meat of the Word. And so God says, don't be fixed, don't be unchanging, but rather grow in the Word. It says there in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It's important for us to grow. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Here in that previous passage, it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. There are individuals out there that believe that they are serving God. They believe that they trust in the Lord, they have faith in God, and they are serving God. Did Paul? Did Saul, before he became Paul? He truly believed that he was serving God to his fullest ability. But Paul later learned that he wasn't. And so what did Paul do? He had a choice. He could continue to live the life as Saul lived, going on persecuting Christians, or he could serve God. There are individuals that truly believe they're serving God, but it's not about what we feel, how we feel we should be. It's not about simply listening to an individual like me up in the pulpit preaching. But there is a way to grow in the Lord, and that is by studying diligently. In Acts chapter 17, as we're going through the study of Acts, we've read in a passage there in Acts chapter 17, shortly after Paul leaves Thessalonica, he comes to Berea. And there's a verse here in verse 11. It says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether the things were so. They studied the Scriptures daily. Now, we often sometimes stop at that and just say, it's great to study your Word daily. But I know Kevin made the comment, it's not just about studying your Word daily, but they were proving that what they were studying was truth. They wanted to prove that it was right. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death. Folks, we have to study, not just to study, but to gain more of a knowledge to prove that this is the inspired Word of God. This is life for us. This is the way out. We have to grow. God doesn't want us being unchanging. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 4 through 11. Follow with me here. 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 11. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. It says, apply all of these things and continue to grow. Where do you get that? Verse 8, it says, for in these qualities are yours and are increasing. You're growing. It doesn't just say, once you've read this, you're done. Like, that'll work. You are to increase in these things. Milk to meat. It's one of the last passages we're going to consider. Matthew chapter 25. I think it's a great passage to consider when we're talking about growing, doing something with our talents, learning more and more and applying it. It's not just about gaining as much knowledge as you can. You just read, and I know a lot of people that can quote a lot of Scripture. But do they ever use it? Do they ever go and do they set up Bible studies? Or do they come and they sit in the pews and they don't say one comment in class? Or they're not willing to get up and lead the Lord's table? They're not willing to get up and preach a sermon? They're not willing to offer an invitation from God's Word? But they know a lot about God's Word and they can quote a lot of verses. What good does it do? Our life here on earth is not simply just for us. Just to read the Scripture, and I'm going to live my life according to God's Word. It's not about anybody. Like, I need to. This is just me, right here. We're disciples of Christ, and we have the opportunity, but the command by God to use it. And so, we are to grow for that purpose. We are to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord so that we can go out and teach. Consider Matthew chapter 25. We have the parable of the talents here. And I'll read verses 14 through 30. 14 through 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. He put it to work. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. He too went and put it to work. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. I'm looking at the time. I didn't realize I was preaching an hour-long sermon. But we see here that these individuals put their talents to use. Now, we have this one that had 1 talent. Now, he could have done the same as the other 2 and doubled it. He could have... grown that. But he says he was afraid. Verse 24. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. So he has this 1 talent. He didn't just like get rid of it. He kept it. He hid it. So it's here. Here, Master, here's your 1 talent. It's yours. Master says, but his master answered and said in verse 26, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him. Give it to one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're told to grow. We're told to use our talents. We are to grow in the Lord. We are to study His Word, but also apply it. All of these things we talked about this morning. That there needs to be a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear. As the individuals back in Noah's time, they did not fear God. And so God wiped them off the face of the earth. They have no hope now. But we have an opportunity now. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have that opportunity. You can have hope. But until you make the decision to fear God, make decision to choose life over death, you don't have that hope. Do you have faith? Because I think really it comes down to one thing. Faith in God. But faith without works is dead. And that's where it's important for us to grow. For us to use the Word of God and apply these things to our lives so we continue to grow for God. God does not want any to die. And we've read passages about that. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He does not wish for any to perish, but for what? For all to come to repentance. We're all going to be judged and we're going to be held accountable for our deeds, each and every one of us, on the day of judgment. There's one more passage. I want to tie it all in. Matthew chapter 7. In verses 13 and 14 it says, Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Consider the size of the groups back in Noah's time. You have two groups we're talking about. We have the large group, the whole earth full of wickedness. They chose the way of the world. They chose the way of the world. They chose the wide gate. But you also have Noah and his family. A faithful family. Noah that is just, that is blameless, that is righteous. He walked with God. He found favor in God's eyes. We have this small group that took the way of the narrow gate. Which will we choose? It says that the majority of the world is going to choose the wide gate. There's only going to be a few that are going to enter in thereby the narrow. And so I read these verses and I want to close with this and ask ourselves, each one of us, ask ourselves, am I really, and be honest with yourself, am I truly living the life of a Christian that I should be in order for me to see that narrow gate? That is a serious and sobering question that we need to ask ourselves. We need to all ask ourselves, what group am I in? Am I one that's going to serve God like Noah did, so that God will say he found faith, that God found favor in his eyes? Or are we going to be in that group that God says, I am sorry that I made man? We're all going to be judged one day. So if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, there is a way out. Don't miss the boat. Christ is the way out, and He has given you an opportunity through the grace of God to be that way out, so that you can ultimately have life. And if you're here this morning, you have obeyed the gospel, but there are things in your life that are tying you down. We ask the question, why is it so hard for people to choose life, ultimately, the life, an eternal life with God over the physical things here on this earth? It comes down to the physical things on this earth. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things that are tying us down. It's time to cut those ties and recognize that ultimately, life eternally with God is more important than anything that we can have here on this earth. So if you're here this morning and there's things that you need help with, if you need to take this opportunity to confess that you believe in Jesus Christ and repent of the sins that you have committed, we have water here that we can help you in being baptized and coming to God and being in that family and begin your new walk with Christ. And if you're here this morning and there's things in your life, we encourage you, whether of a public or a private nature, we have people here to help. Please come forward at this time. Let your need be made known. Thank you.